Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Stop being Dr. Doom, okay, Dr. Doom?
No, I'm not being Dr. Doom. I don't care about the solar eclipse. I might not even go outside and look at it. What's the big deal? And it's this dangerous thing you can't look at. Well, then why are you looking at it, you dumbass? 2099 will be the next total solar eclipse in West Virginia.
I know exactly
where I'll be.
Well, yeah, you'll be in the grave. Me and Aaron Rodgers will be, taking a leak on your grave watching the eclipse. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, that was my attitude yesterday morning and into the afternoon until my wife showed up with the glasses.
Oh, my God.
That's a fairly close approximation. She got the glasses at the local library. She had to go, solve
puzzles. You're just
going to
trust the library. You're just going to trust the library glasses. Wow. Whoa.
Well, you couldn't see through them. There was nothing there. They were completely black until you looked up at the little... Now, here we did not have totality. What we had here was a phenomenon where you saw the sun being encroached upon to the point where it looked like a crescent moon, and then it was just like a thin fingernail that rotated from the top all the way down to the bottom and around. It never completely covered here.
I don't think it did here either. I don't think. I don't know.
I don't know whether I regret not driving to a place where I could have seen the whole totality, in large part because I try not to have regret, because regret just drags you down. Just whatever it was, you're going to learn from it, but you don't sit around saying, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have had this. I wish I would have had that. That's just a horrible feeling. So I don't really regret not driving to Cleveland where it was totality.
you're an emotional mess. You're 4 years old.
That's a complicated
I'm not going to do the solar eclipse. You all are so stupid. I don't like
that
it.
That part.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I got glasses? Oh, this is great. This is awesome. The solar eclipse is awesome. I'm going to go outside and enjoy the day.
Yeah.
You're like the four-year-old at school. You're unbelievable. Yeah. And now you're talking about you wish you would have drove somewhere. Maybe you're not sure.
I'm not sure because I don't like regret. I don't like to carry around regret, but it wasn't all that far away. But it was a work day. I went down to the barn yesterday afternoon so I could just we have screen doors on the barn and I could walk outside and I could look up and see what it was doing. And at one point I just kind of stood there and it's like, how long do you stand here and look at this thing? I've gotten my fill. But I kept waiting to see if it would completely cover it up or get closer. It was just this little thin thing that just kept rotating around. But then I finally said, all right, enough's enough. And the animals didn't seem freaked out. I was waiting for the animals to freak out and start, tap dancing like the frog that sings hello, my baby, hello, my honey. Because they're talking about how the animals reacted to it. But the birds didn't seem to.
I didn't notice that at our house. We got lots of animals. I didn't really check it out to that extent. I was in the house. I saw it getting dark, right? When it first started, I could tell. I didn't have glasses. In fact, nobody was even home. So, I mean, I was kind of just doing work. And I gave it the old, like, out the window, right? Right when it started. Like, I gave it the old, wait, is it starting? And then with my hand and all that, I did do that for a second. I thought about you. I actually laughed out loud when I was by myself in the house. But that's as far as it went. And then I kind of moved on. I saw some pictures. Like, my daughter took pictures with her phone without looking up into the actual sun or the eclipse, and it looked similar to what you're explaining. We didn't have totality, right? We had a little thin line around it once it like somewhat covered most of it, but still cool, eerie to be in the house and be like, wait, what's going on outside? Why is it like that out there? Why is the light like that?
I just want to make sure I fully appreciate what you said there in the middle. You did the look up and point.
I did a little. It just, I knew it was just starting because I saw some of your texts and other people's texts, right? So I was in the kitchen and I was kind of like making some lunch and I was like, oh, it's starting. It was still so bright, you know what I mean, that you couldn't really look up. But I did. I gave it the old Trump, let me see if I can look through there with my superhuman powers. And I think I accomplished that.
Trying to not name names. As we make the reference to one specific human the last time around who decided to look up and marvel at the eclipse without the benefit of the glasses. The one thing that I did, I tried to take a shot with my phone just to see what the effect was if you didn't have the glasses.
Yeah.
And it for my phone, without shooting it through the glasses, it just looked like the sun. It wasn't, the sun was too bright, at least through my phone, to show that it was being partially eclipsed by,
oh, really?
By
okay.
the moon, or almost okay. completely eclipsed. Even when it was that tiny little piece,
it was still too bright.
It was still bright, yeah. Yeah, but I saw some pictures online of people who shot it, who put the glass over the phone and shot it. And that was a pretty impressive effect. But yeah, I felt weird afterward, like, even though I used those glasses, and it might be because they came from the library, maybe I did affect my retinas, and I'm not going to be able to see right ever again. But I did feel weird afterward.
It just doesn't feel like a you move. It doesn't feel like a you move there. You are Mr. Like, let me verify these are correct, that I want to make sure these are the exact, you know, thing I need for this. Oh, wait, hey, honey, you brought them home from the library? Sure, I'll try them out. It just doesn't seem like Mike Florio to me. But I give you a lot of credit for stepping outside the box on that one and doing it. So you're the man for that.
Now, if I would have known Charles Barkley's opinions on the matter, I probably would have stuck
last
to
night.
My guns. It was hilarious.
Right.
And that distinctive Charles Barkley voice, how about those losers standing
outside? How
about outside
all those idiots
the
out there today?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Well, all right, so we talking eclipse. That was current events. Did you watch the game last night at least for the most part?
I did. I had it on the whole time. But there was very few reasons
No drama.
To stop what I was doing to look at the game, right?
Yeah.
There was one time where the big guy from Purdue, Edie, had a couple of blocks, and I had to see the highlight of that, but there really wasn't a lot that made me stop. And it was just this methodical separation.
Right.
The better team won. You know,
that's
they say
right.
May the best team win. Well, when the best team is a lot better than the other team, the game's no fun if the best team wins. Sometimes it's more fun if the team that isn't the best wins, or at least keeps it close enough and forces the better team to pull a rabbit out of their butts at the end. This was just kind of like, and I bet the numbers, because it wasn't on CBS. It was on TBS and TNT, I believe, but the women's national championship game was on ABC and ESPN and did 18.7 million total.
Wow.
Like average the whole time.
That's
18.7.
incredible. Yeah.
That's NFL numbers.
Yeah,
it was the 24th most watched show of the year, and it would have been 64 out of top 100 last year. And of course, the NFL likes to brag about how many of the spots in the top 100 it has. Well, it's going to be giving up one of the spots in the top 100 this year to the women's national championship game between Iowa and South Carolina at 18.7.
That's impressive.
Million.
They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to get one of the Chiefs players to date Caitlin Clark now. so they can get better ratings. It's damn, they're in trouble. But no, I think to your point, right? Like, yeah, it was a lot like the women's national championship game last night, where you felt like, okay, yeah, the big guy, Edie, he's the best guy on the floor. He's great, but how much can he do? Can he carry the team all night like he did? He came out almost, you know, just like Caitlin Clark, on fire early on, scored like 16 out of their first 20 points. But, you know, one man's not going to be a great team. Really a cool thing what UConn's doing. I mean, UConn, last 25 years, Mike, that's six national championships. They've definitely injected themselves into the hierarchy of, you know, college basketball. And Danny Hurley being from Jersey, right around the corner from UConn, and, you know, all the good Northeast basketball players, they got something going here. It's going to be pretty special to see what they can do with it, you know, from here on out.
I mean, they're basically the Duke of the North now, and people are going to hate them as much as they hate Duke, I think, going right. forward. I mean, seriously, because that's one of the reasons you end up hating teams. They kick the crap out of you, and you hate them because, hey, give somebody else a chance, quit winning all the championships. Let me try something out here, because I've been thinking about the Caitlin Clark phenomenon.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is intrinsic to her, but I also think that women's college basketball – did a great job of realizing we've got something here that we can use. You know, it's the rising tide that lifts all boats. This is the rising tide that lifts the entire ocean. Let's fully embrace what she can do for our sport. And it worked. She elevated. She single-handedly elevated the sport. You got this Edie with Purdue, who was the National Player of the Year for two straight years. Why wasn't Purdue, the Big Ten, and college basketball generally finding ways to use him to become like the star? There was not, like, if you would have asked me yesterday, who's the Player of the Year in men's college basketball? I said, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know Caitlin Clark. I couldn't tell you who the guy is in college basketball.
Right.
Well, it was Edie. And why weren't they marketing that? And I think it's a lesson to all sports out there. Something you said when we were providing a fair and honest assessment of the UFL. If you don't have star players, nobody cares. You need players that we tune in to watch.
Yeah.
Yes, at a certain level, you get caught up in, it's my favorite team, it's my city, I have money on it. That can draw you to it to a certain extent. But the star stirs the drink.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan in the NBA. Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. I don't know what's going to happen to women's college basketball now without her. They better find and cultivate another star, because she's going to go to the WNBA, and the WNBA is going to be elevated by her if she continues to play at a high level and they choose to market her aggressively. So, I mean, to all the stewards of every sport out there, celebrate your stars. Grow your stars, because your stars are going to lift the whole operation. And if you don't have stars, you're screwed.
Yeah. No, we all tune in for that. We want to see elite. We want to see special. We want to see different. That's what was cool about Iowa. You know, is we felt like we were watching a team that was we're playing probably above, you know, the actual talent level of the rest of the team, and that was because of one star, and she was so special. It was like, whoa, can she do this because she's so special and make the rest of this team hang in there? I don't know, right? I mean, but we want to tune in to see. Can she perform greatness? And, yeah, that's what, you know, the USFL, the XFL, all of those leagues have missed to this point, and we'll see where it goes. College basketball will be interesting. I don't know if they, you know, Edie was the guy, sure, you know, but as we know, the really good ones are usually gone after a year, so they can never build a fan base or build something in college basketball around a guy. They kind of have to go the team route. And I think that's to your point why maybe they didn't focus on a star this year. The star of the show this year was the team, was UConn. The fact that they were kind of so dominant, right, for 2 years in a row. To go through the tournament for 2 years in a row and not play one game and what's supposed to be like the buzzard beater March Madness tournament, not play one game in 2 years of 10 points, that's or close to 10 points, right, by the margin, is amazing. It really is. But, yeah, I think, you know, to your point, I don't know if men's basketball in college will be able to accomplish the Caitlin Clark stuff.
Well, then that's what should have been marketed by the powers
yeah.
that be. We've got this yeah. dominant team. If I'm not aware of it, because I'm not paying attention
yeah,
to
right.
it, it's got to be something that goes beyond the bubble in which the sport operates.
Yeah.
So you've got this greatness that UConn is demonstrating.
Right.
I wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of it.
You're right.
You've got Edie
I hear you.
With Purdue.
Right.
This greatness. I'm not aware of it. And that's why it's – and look, you have to have people who are doing great things. You've got Caitlin Clark who, you know, you can't force it is what I'm saying. You can't just say, well, we need a star.
Yeah.
Let's pick Joe. You have to have somebody who is doing something great. And then it's incumbent on the people in charge to recognize this is great. This is special. This is historic. This is a rare talent. This is somebody who is doing things that no one else has done and that no one else is going to do for a long time. And it's in our interests to say, hey, world, look at what this person is doing. It's never been done before. It won't be done again. Whatever it is, that's how you elevate yourself. And that's what's kind of dumb about the fact that every sport isn't busting its ass every single day to find that person who either is doing something special and they're just doing a shitty job of marketing it, or sorry,
Glasgow.
Sorry, Aberdeen. or you know, you just have somebody that can be grown and developed. Like, we see something here. Now, it's kind of hard for the sport to go to the team and say, you know, you should probably let Billy Bob shoot a little bit more, or whatever the case may be. You know, maybe you should play him some more.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he should be your starter, not your backup. It's kind of hard to do that. But you hope that the team recognizes the greatness, the league recognizes the greatness, and the people who get paid to market the product recognize the greatness and run with it. I guarantee you the WNBA is going to do that with Caitlin Clark.
100%. Yeah.
And all these other sports need to do the same thing. That's what the UFL needs to be doing. Where's our greatness? Hey, they got this guy making 60-plus yard field goals every game. Let's lean into him. Now, I don't know how long that can last because you need the circumstance to kick a 60-yard field goal. I don't know how many people care about that. But that's just an example of it. Find somebody who's doing something great and elevate that person, because you elevate the entire sport if you do that.
Yeah. No, that's what we're all looking for, right? That's why we like what we got going in the NFL right now. We got that guy. You know, Brady handed off the torch to Mahomes, and we're all like, oh, my gosh, it's a totally different way. It's not the same, but it's still awesome, and I got to tune in to watch what happens, whether I like him or not. I got to tune in. I got to see what he's going to do, right? It was like that with LeBron 6, 7, 8 years ago. Not like that now, but when he went to 10 in a row, it was a little bit like that. Of course, it was like that with Michael Jordan, right? So we've seen it, and there's no doubt, and that's why football is awesome. It does have some elite stars and people you want to talk to, and people that we know that can do things that the rest of the public can't on a regular basis. And I think that's why we tune in to see if somebody does something like that on a Sunday afternoon.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it.
Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Now, there is one team out there that can plug and play anyone to any result, not get back to an NFC championship since
1995. Oh, here he goes.
You're still going to have your star power, right? You don't need superstars to make the Dallas Cowboys a big deal. I'm trying to transition to what we're supposed to be talking about 17 minutes into the program. C.D. Lamb, who has earned his second contract.
Yep.
He's into his fifth-year option. He is not expected to participate in the voluntary workouts. And this is the time of year where you have this people say, oh, it's voluntary. It's voluntary. But everybody who gets it understands. They show up. The players show up. Yes, it's voluntary, but you still show up. Except when you're looking for a new contract that you have earned, that you've yet to receive, because the team is deciding we can squat on this guy for year five, and then maybe we'll play the franchise tag dance, or maybe we'll sign to a long-term contract after he does it for one more year. He had the best season of his career in 2023. He's not expected at voluntary workouts, and a potential holdout is looming for C.D. Lamb once we get into preseason, training camp, etc. And I say good. If Jerry Jones isn't going to crack off some of the money that he used to get John Calipari to go from Kentucky to Arkansas for one of his own guys, stay away until he does. Good for you, C.D. Lamb. Sometimes you got to take a stand to get what you deserve.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be mad at that. I mean, yeah, I don't blame him for, well, okay, yeah, I'm one of the top receivers in football, and I deserve to be paid like that. And let's try to make the adjustment and go from there. And like we always talk about, not take the risk of going out there and playing and trying to say, hey, I'll be a good soldier and take one for the team. And then, yeah, you break your leg or your ACL and you don't make nearly the same amount of money, you know, that you would have before the year with a long-term contract. So, yeah, the risk is totally on the player, as you say, all the time. Right now, where does it go? What does CD want? Right, that's the, to me, the conversation. I've had these conversations with friends around football. I mean, they know what's going on. CD Lamb, right? Where does he rank in the hierarchy? To me, that's going to be the thing that you really got to figure out. I'm sure he wants to be paid like the highest receiver in football. Right? I don't think the league. I don't think he's viewed as one of the top two or three receivers in football. As we always say, and I think you could go around the NFL for the most part, like Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and A.J. Brown are in a little bit of a different class than the rest of the wide receivers in the NFL. Then we can get into the Devontae Adams and the Cooper Kupp when he's healthy, and DK Metcalf and what he can do, certainly, and, you know, Stephon Diggs and CeeDee Lamb and all that. But that, to me, is going to be the thing that they got to figure out there in Dallas. See, Dallas likes to put themselves in these problems a little bit, right? We drafted a first-rounder. He's good, right? I don't think he's a superstar. But now here they were last year without other weapons on the team, and they had to ride him so hard that now his stats look like he might be the top receiver in football, which I say he is not. And now they're stuck in the corner here of him asking, I want to be the highest paid receiver in football. And if you ask the fantasy world and people who don't watch film and do stuff like that, they think that's true. And that's where I think we're in a little bit of a bind here between Dallas and CeeDee Lamb as we go forward.
And part of the problem as well is coming up with the right number. We saw the salary cap go up by 13.6%. Can we put that graphic back up? Because this drives me crazy. And we need to get rid of this graphic. Because Tyreek Hill is not making $30 million per year. His contract has a bullshit final year that pays him $45 million that drives the average from 25 to 30. That $45 million is never going to be paid. It's there for one reason only, and that is to build Tyreek Hill's ego even larger than it already is by allowing him to tell the world he's making $30 million per year. He's at 25. And that same thing trickles into some of these
Devontae
other
Devontae Adams, whole, I believe, was similar too, wasn't whole, it? Right.
The whole new money, old money. The agents want to push the new money average, and the new money average ignores the fact that there's still years left under the contract that the new contract – oh, it's an extension. No, they always rip up the old contract and put a new one in place. They call it an extension so they can push this fiction that the guy's making more money than he is. If I get a three-year extension and I got 2 years left, I got a five-year contract. And the contract is worth whatever I'm paid over those 5 years, not what I'm going to get over the final three, because it all gets subsumed into the contract.
Right.
You don't finish your car. Hey, we signed you to an extension. So once you finish these 2 years, the new one's 6 cents. And that's not how it works. It's not how it works. But with Tyreek Hill especially, and this is kind of glaring, and it crosses the line into insulting the intelligence of the average person.
Yeah.
It's a phony and fake $45 million final year to drive the average to 30 so he can say, I'm making $30 million a year. And, you know, we've had this conversation before. A lot of players only care about the APY, so they, you know, it's a measuring contest. And they're walking around saying, I got the biggest at $30 million per year. It's that simple. And the problem is, when CeeDee Lamb's trying to get paid, you've got the agents who throw their arms around the fake numbers.
Yes.
And you got the teams that are looking at the real number.
Right.
And so you got to get on the same, you got to speak the same language before you even get a deal done.
Yeah. No, I think that's a big part of the problem, right? And you know, I was, as you were sitting there, I was going, wait, you know, I'm pretty sure Devontae Adams has a similar thing. And he does. But I was looking at his contract as you were speaking there. His last 2 years of his deal are 36 and 36, which I, you know, again, I don't think he'll ever see. Right. You know, unless they, I don't know, unless he has some incredible year here, but we'll see. But yeah, it's inflated that way and it's confusing the situation. So yeah, I think we're on the same page here as far as what's the value of the player, what's the actual, you know, average per year leader, and who's making that right now. What are we talking about? Real money. Okay. And then trying to balance that out as far as the player. And trying to figure it out from there. And I think that's what they're going to go through. And I don't know. And of course, then, you know, I know we're going to talk about these guys in a minute and go all through this, but CeeDee Lamb, we know these guys, they're competitive. I'm sure he wants to look at Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and their contract and kind of get a feel for what they're going to get, because he doesn't want to be one up, to your point, to such a point where he signs a contract and then 2 weeks later, everybody's like, well, your contract's like not that great compared to theirs. So that's an aspect too. But yeah, Dallas, between Michael Parsons and CeeDee Lamb, they're in a spot right now. They really are. And you know, not to change the subject, but the whole Michael Parsons thing is weird anyways right now as we sit here, and maybe we'll dive into that later.
Well, do we dive into it later? I don't know if we put it
I don't know
later
if we do, but it is weird.
My short-term memory isn't what it used to be. Yeah. But there was an item, and I reached out to my friend Sean Sharif from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas-Fort Worth, because he said on the air recently, and I want to get to the bottom of what he knows and what he doesn't know, but he threw out this idea that the Cowboys are
exasperated.
Getting
right.
Exasperated is the best word, I think. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done, Grasshopper. Exasperated with Micah Parsons just way. And I've made this point before. Like, Micah Parsons can be kind of a low-key pain in the ass. You know, fighting with the media, chirping about everything. We like him.
Yeah.
But he's kind of like launching his media career while he's, you know, 3 years into his NFL career, and it creates issues.
Right.
And he, you know, he stiff arms the media on a regular basis. He went 17 days before he had anything to say after they got embarrassed at home by the Green Bay Packers. And hey, as far as antisocial behavior goes, he could do a hell of a lot worse. I mean, he wasn't street racing in Dallas. He wasn't driving around, you know, with way too much alcohol in his system. I mean, these are small things compared to some of the other examples we've dealt with recently in the NFL. But it's interesting because 105.3 The Fan is the Cowboys' flagship station, the one on which Jerry Jones appears twice a week in season.
Right, and you would think they know people.
And so where are they?
Yeah, right.
Where, you know, so either you got it from the Cowboys, or you got it independently and you're smart enough to run it by the Cowboys before you say it out loud. And nobody from the Cowboys said, you probably shouldn't say that. So if the Cowboys had a problem with it, and I think they're smart enough to tread lightly, you wouldn't have said it. So either they got an advance nod, or it was fed, or they're comfortable with the Cowboys. They've heard enough that they know the Cowboys aren't going to care to say this thing that clearly is going to piss Micah Parsons off. That's the thing. When you're throwing darts at a guy for being a pain in the butt in your assessment because he talks too much about different things and doesn't do this and doesn't do that, you're asking for him to erupt at you for doing that. And I haven't checked Micah Parsons' X page, but I figure at some point he's going to have something to say about this report or whatever it is from the Dallas radio station labeling him as a pain in the ass.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, how could he be happy? You know, certainly. And I understand, too, the Cowboys side of it, right? We know teams don't want distractions. They don't want a guy always, you know, making headlines, talking about the Eagles, right, doing this, doing that. I understand that. We love it. We do. We love Micah Parsons. He's awesome. But, yeah, I don't know if I'd feel that same way if I was coaching the football team a little bit. I'd probably be like, oh, man, you know, just let's tone it down a little bit. Let's just play ball. Let's just worry about that. So I can understand that. But I don't know what they did. Or what we think they might have done is, you know, necessarily the best way to approach this. But this goes into this big stew of Dallas crap they got working right now, where I don't know what's going to go on. Again, you know, that's the problem being the Cowboys. You know, CeeDee Lamb, 1,700 yards. Everybody thinks he's the best receiver in football right now, right? And I'm going to say that's not the sense around football. So they got to find that right, like, price tag there. And then you'd go, wait, we're in a kind of a weird time for the Cowboys too, right, Mike? I think you agree. They're a little bit in a transition, trying to balance the checkbooks for the future. It's Micah, it's CeeDee Lamb, it's Dak Prescott, right? They had to let go of some offensive linemen. They're trying to get their team younger in some spots. So they're really in a little bit of a kerfuffle here as far as trying to figure out their future and how competitive they can be. I think I used that right. I'm not sure.
Good word, not the best word, and I know you have the best words. I have the best words. But it's a good word. It's good enough that I'll take it in this setting, even though it doesn't 100% fit. Like, it's not totality.
Okay, you know, sorry, like not total eclipse.
It's the sliver. Yeah. It's the sliver. All right. Here's the problem, and this goes back to what they did with Dak Prescott. Like, they haven't learned from Dak Prescott. With Dak Prescott, they dicked around. Sorry, London.
Damn, you're killing them today.
Multiple years. They. I don't know. Is that even? Do they even realize that that's probably something I shouldn't say? I don't know how the vernacular works over there with something like that. Because some of the stuff that we say and apologize for, they're like, don't apologize for it. And then other things like piss, like, oh, don't say that.
Yeah, right.
Like right. The culture that uses one specific word that we never use here, they just throw it around all the time. All the time. And then they're pissed. You can't say piss. Yeah, all right, get out of here with that. All right. So anyway, with Dak, right, he was a fourth-round pick. And after his third year, they squatted on him. He, like, made $2 million in his fourth season.
Yeah.
And then they do the franchise tag.
Right.
And then they do the second one. Then all of a sudden they wake up and it's like, we're screwed here. And they give him a contract that is specifically designed to screw them again in the fourth season. And it's currently screwing them. And he walks away as a free agent next year. They can't franchise tag him next year. He's gone without an extension. And it's all because they waited too long to put the money on the table. And now they're doing it with CeeDee Lamb. And they're trying to find a way to do it with Micah Parsons. And the one thing that you'd like to think these rich and powerful and supposedly not stupid people, you know, people who aren't going to look up at the eclipse, you'd like to think they realize it only gets more expensive. The longer you wait, it's only going to get more expensive. The only way it doesn't get more expensive is if the guy suffers some sort of a serious injury or otherwise loses his fastball, which we don't see happen very often. You worry about it. But we don't see it happen. And you know what? Dak broke his ankle the year before they gave him the four-year, $160 million contract.
Yeah.
That didn't have fluff. That didn't have phony crap in it.
Right.
That I remember saying at the time, this is a better contract than the Patrick Mahomes deal. Because it forces the Cowboys to deal with it soon. And now they're dealing with it. And they got to deal with CD. And they got to deal with Micah. And their attitude is, let's just do it all. Maybe it'll go away.
Can they do it all?
I don't think they can.
I don't know if they can either. Would they try to trade one? Would Micah be tradable? You know, would CD Lamb, would somebody do that? Right? Here's where, and we could talk about this with Brandon Ayuk too a little bit. I know we're going to talk about them in a minute. I'm not trying to jump the shark here or get ahead, but I think it's valid to this conversation a little bit where, you know, again, I would think Ayuk, same thing, big year, best year of his career, like you said about CD Lamb. They want this big money, right? They want top of the market money, right? But me and I think most of the NFL included would go, wait, you guys are not top of the market. You're not the top tier. That's a different tier. I'm sorry, right? We like you guys. You're really good. But what I would do to both of these guys if I was the 49ers or the Cowboys would go, well, fine. If you think you're that, then show me that AJ Brown trade and contract extension like he got. Because the Eagles traded for exactly the Mike Vrabel. The Eagles traded what? The 15th pick of the draft, right? Wasn't it the 15th pick of the draft?
16th, 17th.
Right. Somewhere. And they knew they were going to have to pay him, right? Because that's what you do when you're sold that, oh, he's one of the five best receivers in football, right? If I'm Dallas or the 49ers, I'd go out there. Tell me if you think you can get that deal right there somewhere. And if you can, then maybe we'll make a deal and trade you, or maybe we'll try to offer it. If you can't, then you got to lower your damn price, and you're not what you think you are. And I think that's where it's going to come, you know, to the rubber meets the road here a little bit in this situation, or maybe the teams buckle. We'll see where this goes.
By the way, it was the 18th overall pick. Traylon Burks. See, that's the problem. You get the guy. This attitude they have completely defies the whole purpose of the draft. You acquire, ideally, great players in the draft. And then you keep them. See, the Cowboys are the one team that doesn't really want to go all in with the star system because you got to pay your stars. Their attitude is wearing the star on your helmet is good enough. You'll make a lot of money elsewhere. You'll get a Dannon yogurt or Oikos yogurt or whatever yogurt deal. Dak Prescott gets. He starts getting all these contracts, not because he's Patrick Mahomes, but because he's the Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you go sit for 30 years in a booth somewhere like Troy Aikman as the number one analyst for one of the networks.
Yeah. So they never give themselves a plan B or a get out plan. So they do all that. And then they go, wait, Dak, we got to ride you. You got to throw for 4,800 yards. CD, we don't have any other receivers. We're going to make every play in the offense. You'll be the first read. And now it's like, oh, well, you're Dallas, a star power. And then it's like, well, now you've blown them up to superstars because you don't have another plan or another way to play the game here, and you're stuck. That's what's funny about it, Mike. I think you're right. They think that, and yet they do the opposite when it kind of comes down to it at the end of the day.
Here's the bottom line, and I say this, and this is going to be a tough needle for me to thread.
Uh-oh, I like it.
But I have a ton of respect for what Jerry Jones has done in the National Football League.
Yeah.
He has helped to elevate the entire sport. He has forced his partners to think more like business people.
Right.
And he's had to ruffle a lot of feathers to get to where the sport is. And he presided over a great run with a team that was built before the players had the leverage that comes from free agency. They haven't been able to build a champion since free agency took root. And I think fundamentally the problem is that Jerry and Stephen Jones, as much respect as I have for both of them and what they've done to the sport, and I'll lump Stephen in there as well because he's been there with Jerry and he's doing more and more, and they built an incredible brand. But when it comes to issues like this, they are cheap, they are short-sighted, and they are not as smart as they think they are. Period. Because they keep screwing these up. Because they wait too long. Their attitude is, when they get in a tough spot, let's just wait. Do you not realize, Jerry and Steven, that by waiting, it's only going to cost you more? It's never going to get cheaper. It's only going to get worse. It started with Dak. It's continuing with CeeDee Lamb. It's going to continue with Micah Parsons. They're going to try to find some other solution that's going to blow up in their face. And they're going to wonder why they can't get them some glory hole.
Yes. I mean, you were threading the needle until you said, you know, not as smart as they think they are. And then you
that's
lost it.
That's where I was. I know. That's where I was.
That was where you threaded it, and it all messed up. It all got
They're
frayed.
Smart, but no. Plenty of people are smart, but being smart allows you to think you're smarter than you are.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be smart and just understand there are limits to my intelligence. There are always going to be people out there smarter than me. Or to say, I'm smart, and I'm also smarter than you. When you walk around life with that attitude that I'm the smartest guy in the room,
First
of all, you're not. If you think you are, you've already lost. You've already lost. If you walk around thinking I'm the smartest guy in the room, you're in for a rude awakening.
Definitely.
Well, the Cowboys have gotten some rude awakenings because they've thought they're the smartest guys in the room, dealing with Dak Prescott, dealing with CeeDee Lamb, dealing with Micah Parsons, dealing with all these other issues that come with building and keeping a good team together. They think they're smarter than they are. Now I'm getting even,
the needle's gone. You've ruined the whole thing.
I'm trying to help them.
All right, so what do you think happens here, Mr. Pasta and Meatballs, right? What do you think ultimately happens? Like, with these three guys, if you had to look into your crystal ball, right, and here in the next few months, Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, this stew of stars, right, that have got the Cowboys by the kahunas there, and now it's uh-oh, right? What are they going to do? What do you think the Cowboys do ultimately trying to figure out this whole thing here?
First of all, I think that Dak Prescott becomes a free agent next year and is next year's Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Depending upon whether or not there's a team out there that's willing to break the bank for him. Maybe there will be. All it takes is one. All it takes is one that says, we just need a quarterback, and Dak's done pretty well, and maybe he'd do even better with us than he's done with the Cowboys.
Right.
So I think Dak is on the way out if he finds an offer elsewhere, and I think they're daring him to leave. They're not going to give him $60 million a year or whatever it was going to take to get that cap number way down this year. They're willing to let him hit the market, and that's the way it should be. It's the way it should have been when his rookie contract expired, but for the franchise tag, it would have been that way. So I think he walks. I think CD possibly gets traded, and I think that they find a way to work it out with Micah Parsons because this guy's freaking generational.
You better, if
you didn't authorize or ratify the comments made on your flagship radio station, you better read them the Riot Act, and you better stand up for your guy and make sure you don't agree with this now, because this is the guy who, we don't like some of the stuff he says. I don't care. And they dealt with a lot worse with Lawrence Taylor, and this guy's this generation's Lawrence Taylor. He's not quite there yet. If the worst thing you got to deal with from your star defensive player, who is a generational talent, who could be one of the best ever, is sometimes he stiff arms the media and sometimes he pops off on his podcast or on Twitter, big freaking deal.
Yeah, that's right.
You do everything you can to make the guy happy and you keep him.
Right, that's right. I mean, he could act like Lawrence Taylor did off the field. That could be a whole different can of worms. All right, so you didn't even chuckle at that? You didn't even hear that? You didn't even listen to that? You didn't even chuckle?
No, I'm texting with the guy who said the thing on the Dallas radio station.
Oh, okay. Either way, you're an asshole. Sorry, London. Nothing. Don't worry about it.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Something about a can of worms?
Yeah, whatever.
Is it a kerfuffle about a can? Are we going to have a kerfuffle today?
No. Nope, we're not.
Somebody pointed out to me yesterday, when I brought up our fight from Thursday, you really didn't want to talk about it, and it caused them to infer that you really were pissed off on Thursday.
Oh, no, not at all. I don't know why they would have thought I didn't want to talk about it yesterday. I wasn't like that. Sometimes I just think I'm in morning grouchiness still, and like my face gives like mean looks, and I'm not really being mean, but I'm still waking up and a little groggy, and I might look like that because I do watch videos of us sometimes and go, man, I should smile a little more. Why am I like so serious there listening to you thinking, and I'm not nothing mean thoughts going through my head, but I'm just thinking and waking up, and I think sometimes I come off that way.
But
your point, though, is right. I mean, Micah's generational. And my point was Micah and what he's doing off the field. I said he could be acting like Lawrence Taylor. That could be a whole lot worse with a whole different can of worms if he was acting like that off the field, right?
He has yet to show up for a team meeting in handcuffs.
And in handcuffs. We haven't seen that yet. So
not from an altercation with police either.
An altercation with, somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But either
something
way.
He actually paid for.
But either way, I would agree with you there. You're right. I think CeeDee is the one that's really interesting as we go here, what they try to do and what's that sweet spot if they do keep him for paying him, right? Because there is a lot of to balance there. We talked about that. But Micah Parsons, I'm with you, right, where we talk about, okay, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, A.J. Brown are in a class of their own at receiver. Micah's one of those guys on the defensive side of the ball, to your point, where it was, oh, it's T.J. Watt, it's Aaron Donald, it's Michael, it's Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett. And, like, let's go from there. And then there's the rest of the NFL, you know. And that's how special he is, let alone I think he might be at the top of that class right now as far as the guys we're talking about. I know the Watt brothers would have something to say about that, but either way, it's in a class of its own up there with the elite of the elite. And, yeah, I would think they got to get him done at some point here. And if I'm him, that position, what he plays, everything he's asked to do, as kamikaze as he is, he's a guy that I would definitely say don't step on a field until you get the long-term contract.
Especially now, because he's eligible for the contract now. I thought he'd be the first one. I'm still waiting
The
first guy
who
says, and this is a risky, risky move, but maybe we'll evolve to the point one day where the media and the fans will appreciate and respect when this happens. The window opens for your second contract at the conclusion of your third regular season. One of these days, there's going to be a guy who says, I want my contract before I set foot on the field for a playoff game. After my third season. One of these days, someone's going to do it. And I thought maybe Micah Parsons would do it. And you can lay the foundation for the contract ahead of time. You just can't sign it until after that final regular season game of your third season. And I thought maybe there would be a push to do that for Parsons because he plays a position that entails a higher risk of injury than quarterback or receiver, the other two positions for the Cowboys we've been talking about today. What we're going to do is take a break. When we return, we're going to look at this cluster of receivers who is due to be paid. Is it like it used to be with quarterbacks where one guy gets his, the next guy gets a little more, the next guy gets a little more, or should there be classes and tiers, as Chris was saying earlier? Do the receivers agree with that approach? We'll look at those potential contracts when PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.